How'd you like that rain this morning? As if you haven't had any already. It's over the top on this island right now. For years we pray, God restore, God bring, God green things up. We need help. And boy, are we getting the help. He just blesses us over the top. We're reminded of it each day. Yesterday, that beautiful rainbow. Did you see it? Another one. In the midst of a gray day, the color schemes of the great entertainer, the one who paints the picture for you every day in some way. In a lot of ways, we get busy and just overlook the mercies of God. Thank you, Francis. Thank you to those who have gone before on the stage. That wonderful worship set this morning. Each song, I mean, even some of our own team and myself included, different places around the church, listening to it on the speakers, just bringing that presence of God into our minds, the filter of our heart. Then it goes into our heart, and all of a sudden tears start forming because you realize the presence of God is here right now. Did you catch that? He was invited here. You must trust he is here. Does that change your perspective in any way? It does mine. The presence of God is here. Regardless of what you're wearing, regardless of what you're carrying, regardless of how the morning went, or maybe last night even, he chooses to be here. He is meeting you here today. And later on, we're going to have the opportunity for you to come to the table. And for some, you can't wait for communion. It needs to start right now. I invite you to the table now. Why wait? The Holy Spirit is inviting you. You've invited Him. Why wait? Have communion now with God. And this morning, this is our goal. To get to that point. To understand that God has set up something and designed you to be with Him. And I mean, to really look at what a day could look like. We hit it hard last week on the church. We hit it really hard that the church's responsibility looks like this. But the body of Christ is the church, so it looks like this. This week, we pull out some of those nuggets and polish them up to say, in a personal way, how do you find time with God? That image that Francis showed us in the beginning of a child being put to sleep, put to rest, and reminded of the gentleness of that moment. How does your day end? How does your Heavenly Father want your day to end? What is His promise to you as He says, my son, my daughter, my child, today is over. But here's what I want you to remember. And dream, man, dream. How you make God a part of your life. How do you make Him a part of your day? Or even how do you end your day? Look at your notes this morning if you have them. The scriptures in there are just loaded. But before we talk about that, a little bit different for some of us in here may be how you view the day already. Or how you view the rest of your day, even today. It may be your perspective may be a little different when you wake up in the morning, and it's not always going to be pretty. How many of you are morning people? Raise your hand. Okay. How many are going, are you kidding me? All right. It's pretty fair. It's pretty split this morning. But there is those who have the idealized picture, and when they wake up, they're already behind, so to speak. Anything less than the ideal, like that perfect image that God has. For you, it's just unreachable. It's unattainable. And the reality is you get home about 7:30 in the evening after multiple meetings, including the meetings that were not scheduled that you have to go to. And all of a sudden, you have a cold slice of pizza. You hit the chair. You grab the clicker. And you start snoring until your wife hits you in the elbow, says, come to bed, weirdo. You know, that's reality. You know, so the idealized picture of being laid into your comfortable bed at night and the covers, and you're like, are you kidding me? You have no idea what Monday through Friday looks like. or even Saturday here on the island. Your romantic evening getting punched in the arm. Stop snoring. Valuable hours during the day. And here's the problem. That a lot of us, we get so idealized on this perfection that it keeps us from the real thing that's really going on. The idealized version. The fact that it's not about perfection. Building up something even more than what God wants to do. He wants you right where you're at. He wants to take your ordinary life, this crazy ordinary life. It sounds like a scripture verse, doesn't it? I've heard that before. Give me your crazy ordinary eating, drinking, sleeping, going to work everyday life. God turns around. He says, I just want what you have. I don't want a false image built up in your mind because that tends to keep you from the real thing. And I think Francis is trying to remind us here that when this is all said and done, I want that one thing in my life that I literally have kept out there. I want to be passionate about that one thing. And, you know, preaching sermons every week, there's a lot of work behind the scenes. And after a while, it you know, you can dry up really quick from all the fundamental processes that are there preparing a sermon, preparing a message. I was reminded by a really great associate pastor, a friend of mine, his name's Brian. He came up to me one day, he goes, how's your personal time with God? And I said, it's going great, man. This new series coming out, it's going to be good. He goes, your personal time. And I said, I told you, this new series is coming out, it's going to be really good. He goes, that's your study time. How about your personal time with God? And he reminded me that there is a separation of the two. And both are necessary. For the last 7 years or so, with this drought that's been going on, we've had these concrete, what you would call, you know, like canals that run throughout the city. Very dry. Bahia Vista, right over here at the foot of Sol Vista. Other places, they come down through the golf course. You can see them. Extremely dry, right? Wondering, you know, is somebody going to even stumble and fall into one of those? What are these? And then the last month and a half, we have seen what those are for. True? Right? So, Janny, right next to your house there, it's like this river flowing down there. And then Reed and some friends went for a hike just recently, and I got a video sent to me of Thompson's Reservoir and the backside, literally the overflow valve and the water that has filled the capacity. I think it's at 1053, if I'm not mistaken, maxed out. And it is now overflowing down the concrete, running down into Ben Weston and out back into the ocean. Unbelievable. And the concept here of being given something and it flows out immediately. Given something, it flows out like a canal. It hits and it runs. Hits and it runs. Here's another Bible study. Here's another sermon. Here's what's going on. Versus, here's what God wants to do. Here's what God is up to. Here's what God wants to perfect in me. Here's what God has to say to you first, Andrew. Now I want you to offer this. A reservoir versus a canal. Something that's filled first before it has something else to offer. The joy of knowing God can take our imperfections, not just our ideals. He'll take me right where I'm at, exhausted. Fighting through a divorce, perhaps you are. Maybe there's a trouble in your lease. Maybe there's someone at your job and they're pressuring you. Maybe there's no pressure in your job and you're insecure, wondering, am I next on the list? You know, the things that really dictate the course of our life every day. God takes those things. He wants to complete it. Christ came to give his life for those things. So that you can find life. And I want a relationship with Jesus. That's what I want for my congregation here as well. Christ turns around and says, I want time with you. I don't have perfection set up yet. My life is messed up, you may say. And God says, I want your life to be a little better. Let me fill it up. Let me show you what it looks like. If you haven't been to Hay Press in a while, now's the time to check out Hay Press. What a beautiful lake has formed up there, right? It hasn't always looked that way. It hasn't. And things take time. and God's plan on how He answered our prayers. We waited a long time for that rain, didn't we? And for some in this room, you realize, you know, you've lived all over Southern California and seen drought in its purest form. I'm from Florida. And 9.5 years ago, you know, I got 15 inches of rain in 15 minutes. 15 inches of rain here takes, you know, almost 2 years. Or it did. God's plan and His design and the way He sets it up. Romans 12:1 says this. Here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God. In other words, this belongs to you. It is my offering to you. The only one you've got, the only life you've been given, the place before God is where it goes as an offering. You sit it down. This is all I have. That's real. And that's what makes real impact on our lives. I want you to look at point number one on there. Relationships matter. Making time for relationships. Sometimes it's difficult to have good conversations in your house. This is extremely true of my wife and I. It takes my daughter to come in, sometimes with some other reality, to get us talking. Why? Because we're exhausted. Most of the time we've been talking all day long. Can anyone relate to that? Okay. Especially a school teacher and especially a pastor slash coach. And you're just worn out. There's not a whole lot I'm going to be able to say tonight. And yet, God's given you to me, right? He set up this incredible person, my spouse, to communicate with. But I'm so exhausted, I can't even come close. We've all been in that situation. A long day at work, long day at school, and your parents are asking more questions when you get home and you're just so tired from school. You're just talked out, especially half of us in here, when you realize that God has set up something and it's a limited amount of time that you're giving it, meaning He wants more of it, but you're giving a limited time. It may not be the big question that we say in church as far as relationships go, but this one is, how can I get my relational needs met? That is a big question. Not how, you know, how do we do relationships to you, but how about how do I get my needs met? That sounds a little more familiar. When I come here, I need to know how to fix this, how to get this right, what's going on inside me. Matt is with me this morning, and God's got a lot of verses lined up for us this morning. They're in your notes. But Matt, talk to us about relationships this morning. And I want to read Luke 6:31 to set the context for you, okay? Do for others as you would like them to do for you. All right? Does that sound good? There is the ricochet and the reciprocal, and, you know, I'm going to do the way they deserve, or I'm going to do what I would love to have out of this. But he sets this up, and he says, no, I've got something special lined up, and I'm going to actually set the example for you. I want you to do unto others as you would like them to do for you. All right? Matt, come on in. Let's jump into the conversation.
All right. Yeah? Either one. I'm just going to be here.
Yeah. Morning, everybody. I am so blessed to be up here this morning with Pastor Andrew. And when he had asked me to be a part of this message, I was excited. I still am very, very excited. But the question, I think I have a heavy Bible. The question is, you know, how do we have a relationship with God? What does that look like? And I've been asking God, what is it that you have for me, Lord? What is it that you're trying to tell me this week? And I just really try to sit in that. And, you know, I try to make a conscious effort to read the Word and to pray every day. But to be realistic and honest, that doesn't always happen. And I feel it. Definitely feel it. So the other day I was having devotion time with my wife, and we were sitting in just, you know, having some coffee, and I kind of circled this verse that's in Psalm 1. And I just want to read it through for you. It said, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Now to some of you, you're like, what does that mean? But when you're in tune with God's Spirit and God's speaking to you through his word, that's a heavy, heavy verse. And I took that to heart. How do we not walk in step of the wicked? How do we not sit in the way of the sinner or with the mockers? It's simple. We delight in the law of the Lord. How you delight in something, you got to spend time with it. You got to read it. You got to ask God to help you interpret what, through his Spirit, of course, what it is that this word is saying to you. And only when we ask, only when we knock, only when we seek desperately will we find the answers that our soul needs. That's how we delight in God's word, is when we actually put this to practice and really believe it. We like to make it bigger than what it is. But really, when you just delight in God's word, it will change the way you think. It'll change your perspective. I read a book by Jeff Pratt, I think his last name is, called The Wayward Home. Really good book. Just got to see him in Ensenada. We're building a house out there. And we just kind of recircled that book, and we're talking about just his personal relationship with Jesus. And in that book, even though I don't remember most of it, there were bits of it that kind of stood out. And one of the things was, he makes it a point to spend 15 to 30 minutes in the morning to spend that with God before he opens up his cell phone or his calendar or whatever. And then before he goes to bed, 15 to 30 minutes alone with God, because he wants to take in the Word of God. He wants to take in the Spirit of God before he closes his eyes for the evening. And that made the difference for me. Now, if you're like me, the first thing you do is open your phone and check Facebook and see how many, you know, people liked your photo, or, you know, Instagram. It's so easy to do, especially in this day and age. And I realize not everybody's on Facebook, but it put things in perspective for me as to where my mind went to the minute I opened my eyes. I was so consumed with social media, so consumed with what the world had to offer, that I had very little room and time and energy for God. And then you have to get up, you got to get ready, you got to go to work, you got to clock in, you got to do your work, you got to get to school, whatever your situation is. And before you know it, your day is gone. And then you go back home, you're tired. Like Andrew said, you know, you're spent, you don't have much energy. And you just want to wind down, right? You want to relax. And this is not a condemning conversation, but this is what God's been putting on my heart. Matt, where is your heart at the end of the night? And what is the first thing you think of when you wake up? So if I've asked God, I said, Lord, will you show me how to fall in love with your word? Will you show me how to delight in you? And I love the psalmist David, because the Bible says that he had the heart like God. And we may not understand the full mystery of God or not be able to fully comprehend the heart of God because we're mortal, but we can understand the heart of man. And this man dedicated his life to God ever since his youth. I want to say to the young person here, give your life to Jesus. Let him be the first thought. If you don't even know how to do that, ask him, Jesus, will you be my first thought? Before you turn on your phone, before you look at, you know, Instagram or whatever, let Jesus be your first thought. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you hear, because it feeds your soul. It becomes who you are. And if you're not careful, those things will lead you down a path that God never intended you to be down. The second verse I wanted to bring to mention was Psalm 63. It says, you, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being belongs to you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. One of the best things that you can do is pray when you go to bed. I made the mistake of drinking green tea one time. My wife turned me on to it. She's like, you should try tea. You shouldn't drink so much coffee. I was like, all right, I'm going to try some tea. And I closed my eyes and boom, couldn't sleep for like 3 hours. I had to ask God to like give me patience and calm me down. But what I found was there was beauty in that time with God. I don't want to take too much time on this, but let me move to my last verse. And that's going to be in John chapter 15. And Jesus is talking about the vine and the branches. So how do we apply that? How do I make God the very most important thing in my life? How do I build a relationship with Jesus? And how do I sustain that? How do I turn it from just a thought into a practice, into a way of life? And Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear its fruit, he prunes so that it'll be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. You cannot bear fruit unless you remain in Christ. And I've realized that it's not about being a good boy and trying to hit the Christian checklist. It's about remaining in God and having God overflow like the reservoirs of Catalina in my heart. That affects my relationships. That affects the way I treat my wife. That affects the way I treat my coworkers, how I respond to a negative conversation. When people agitate me or things come up in my life that I can't control, I can stand firm because I'm connected to the vine. The minute I disconnect myself, the very second I take my eyes off Jesus, now I'm treading in really bad water because then I'm working in my own power and strength. And he promises you can't bear fruit like that. There's no way. It wasn't meant to be. And if you see a vine on the ground growing fruit, throw it away because it's probably crazy. I've never seen anything like that, okay? That is not a fruit. That's like the GMO something. But that's really what's been on my heart this morning in our relationship is making time for God. Because really, at the end of the day, like Francis Chan says, we're going to stand before him. And the thought that God's been putting on my heart is, Matt, you know, you don't know when your last day will be. We just celebrated the life of Charles Nash yesterday. And I started to cry. And I didn't really know this guy, but he's touched my life, and he's just been a blessing. And I started to ask myself, why am I crying? And I realized that right before that, Enrique had got up to pray, and he invited the Spirit of Jesus in that room. And I believe that it was Jesus' heart in me just crying and praying for his soul, praying that God would receive him. I don't know what his relationship was with God. I don't know what your relationship is with God. But I pray that if it's not where God says it should be, that you would make that decision today. Because that is what matters. When we take our last breath, there's no reduce. There's no second chances. It's it. So make your relationship with God and bear the fruit that God has called you to bear. That's what I have on that.
Philippians 2:4 says, when you do things, do not let selfishness or pride be your guide. Instead, be humble and give more honor to others than to yourselves. Do not be interested only in your own life, but be interested in the life of others. It's not possible until you have this time with God. This is what Matt's saying, that inside, the filter has got to be your time with him first. And he finished with saying the most important filter is whether or not Christ lives in you. You've accepted him. It sounds like a lot of work. And quite honestly, it's the most simple plan on the planet. From a 3-year-old to 103, who knows the actual age of accountability, God turns around and he says, here's my simple plan of salvation. This is what I offer. What's difficult is when we put everything else in the way of the kingdom that's being offered as well. See, with salvation comes all the life that Jesus lived. And what Matt's simply saying here in a nutshell is that life is available. That life is available. The door is salvation, but go through it and get to the other side. Unselfishly acting towards other people for the right motive. Thankful as a person because you see all that God's done for you. In fact, it's a pretty easy thing when you're thankful for another person. You can do that. It's hard. It's hard to be in a disagreement or in a conflict when you're literally thankful for another person. I would dare say it's impossible. You can't have both. Point two says make time for entertainment. Write that in. This one can be touchy, and yet it's built in by God. It usually is in the evenings. Sometimes it's at the end of your day. Some people get up early to start their day. For most of us, it may just mean television or going to the movies or a video game, whatever it looks like. But do you want to make God a part of your life, a part of your day? And I hope the answer is yes. Give him your entertainment. Give it to him. In fact, he already is. He is entertainment. Whether you realize it or not, he already is. Proverbs 5:21, the Lord sees everything you do. He watches where you go. And the context of this verse is set up for you on the screen there and in your notes. This is set up. God has set up and designed for him to be with you. And for at first when you read this thought of he sees everything you do can make you feel a little uncomfortable. Nod your head if you're with me, all right? Yeah, exactly. But I want you to think of this. Get your perspective changed on this. I don't want you to feel alone. It makes you feel a little uncomfortable because there's something in there that we're struggling with. We're all this way. We're all there. Let me remind you on the other side of this. The fact that God is there every minute of your life, that'll bring incredible comfort. I mean, it did yesterday. People spent more time talking about this man, Charles, as to the point of where he wanted to get back right, as Lecrae says. He wanted to get some things straight. He was working on improving his life. And it wasn't on his condition. It was on what God asks of us. And that's what he's asking of all of us. What do I need to do to allow you, God, to filter the decisions that I make? Because I want to be comfortable that you're with me all day. I want to be comfortable that you see what's going on. And by the way, that also means that when you cry out, like a lot of folks are doing, he hears you. Amen? Amen. He cares about every moment of your life. He cares about the things you care about. Do you want to live the life that God's designed you to live? Or do you want to have a more trivial life than ever before? The Bible says that we need to do what God has asked us to do and make him a whole part of our life. The Bible is very clear that God wants everything. You're his creation. And glorifying him is put in every aspect of your life, including your entertainment. God made us to be his child and in his image. And so he wants to show the world what he is like. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, whatever you do, you must do all for the glory of God. Circle all. But then notice the verse started with eat and drink. It's pretty wild. Simple, common things. All to God's glory. It doesn't include just spiritual things or Christian things or churchy things. How about the way you eat and drink? Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. It also includes entertainment. Every part of our life. All means all. Some people think it means I can never be entertained. Are you kidding me? This is the God of the universe. Who do you think came up with entertainment in the first place? Way before televisions had color, who do you think designed color? We're at a celebration of life. It's a back and forth emotional thing yesterday. On the balcony of this beautiful building, looking over a very gray environment. Hard to tell the difference between ocean and sky. It's just one gray mass. And then this wave of color comes in for everyone there and family. And you, the designer, paints a rainbow. Gorgeous. Psalm 65, verse 8, the dawn and the sunset shout for joy. Anyone here, that early bird that raised your hand, anyone really seen an epic sunset in the last few weeks? Have you? It's hard. It's hard because you have this mountain right here behind you, but it's still there. Even the after effects after it goes down, just what it does all the way across to the mainland. And the sunsets and the sunrises combined show us the image of God, His beauty. He entertains us in all different ways. But the sky itself, sometimes it's blue, sometimes it's bright orange, other times it looks just gray. The variety, the stars, you'll take your breath away. Just recently I had a chance to hike up one of the fire breaks. I don't do it often, but I do it when I really want a challenge. And it was actually still drizzling, but it had ended 3 days of that rain we had almost a month ago. And I got up there, and I was kind of feeling this tug to do this. I really was wondering why I'm doing this. It was like 9 o'clock at night, but I had a lot of energy. And I remember going up there, and I literally watched what's left of a three-day rainstorm filter out of the sky. I just watched the wind just take the leftovers. And you can do this on your Doppler, you know, on your phone. You'll see where green becomes nothing. But I didn't have a Doppler. I literally was looking at a dark sky that went from black to one of the most brilliant moons. I could have read a book out there by moonlight. And I was up there, and I felt the presence of God. Not alone, but I was sitting on the 50-yard line of an incredible event. And then the stars came out, which usually with moonlight don't go together. But they couldn't stay quiet, and neither could I. Songs started to resonate inside me. I haven't sung in 20 years. I mean, just some old school stuff, Newsboys, some old fun stuff. I mean, I was youth group and other fun things. I just remember certain choruses that would just resonate in my head. And so I'm hiking back down, and I'm singing songs I would have never had in my brain if I hadn't witnessed some of that. God understands entertainment. He also understands drama. Look at the change of the seasons. Waiting on spring, waiting on the winter, looking forward to fall and rest as we fall back, and spring as we spring forward, which is right around the corner, by the way. God understands entertainment. He understands humor. Just look in the mirror and look at the creation and the critters that are out there. Entertainment should not be your life, but don't feel guilty about being entertained. God has built beauty and humor and drama into all of this. Movies, video games. I think they're sort of like food. And sort of like going to the grocery store and putting into your cart what makes sense for life. Not everything on that shelf has got it. Not everything should be appealing to your heart. But the things that are, that go into your life, that's what you purchase. That's what you put in. There's healthy food and there's junk. There's healthy videos and there's some nasty stuff out there that's poisoned your system. There's addiction to things, including sports and pornography and video games that just all of a sudden 1 hour becomes four. Why do I talk about this? Most of us understand this, but why is it so important? Proverbs 4:23, look at it in your notes. Above all else, sons and daughters, guard your heart. For it affects everything you do. It is the wellspring of life, David says. He also says later on, I run in the path of your commands because you set my heart free. Hard to run when you've got ankle weights. You've got stuff in your life that you're putting in to your grocery cart of your heart that says it shouldn't be there. It's kind of hard to run. It's impossible, actually. The wellspring of life. Above all else, the eye is the gate of your heart, and the heart is the gate of everything that you do. That's why it's important. It's health food, junk food, or something poisonous. Who am I? What are you made of? Are you having to look over your shoulder all the time? Getting real. Watch Watch things together as a family. If you're sitting in separate rooms, one person's on their iPad or their TV, and somebody else is in this room and their TV, what's the point of that? You're all by yourself. Get together and do things. I know it's hard to agree on certain shows. Been there, okay? But watch together. It builds relationship. In your family, do that. And especially when you have people over. Don't segregate. Enjoy entertainment together. Skip the commercials. I would do that. Just skip them. If you can, at least mute them if you can't. Let go of that. Matt, what's your plan for entertainment?
That's changed over several years. I've realized that lately I work a lot, like a lot. So when I get home, sometimes just taking my shoes off and just doing nothing entertains me. But more often than not, I get bored a lot. And it's funny you say video games, because I think if we're all, you know, some of us men in here are honest, we would spend more time on video games than we have the time allotted for. My wife can attest to that. The other day, I'm home, and I'm like, you know, I got this video. I got one video game. Let me just turn it on. And she swears I was on it for like 3 hours. I'm like, I only played like three matches, you know. Then I looked up. I'm like, oh, yeah, it was pretty long time. But I realized that my entertainment doesn't entertain me. The movies I watch on Netflix don't entertain me. The video game that I play for 3 hours does not entertain me. What it does is it offers a counterfeit form of entertainment that I so often buy because I'm so spent. I don't realize the quality, and I don't care at that point. I'm just accepting whatever's there because it's there. And God, spending time with God, has made me realize that those things aren't bringing life to me. They're robbing me of entertainment. You want entertainment? Start following Jesus. God will entertain you. You want some entertainment? God will show you what that looks like. So if you'd ask me, and this is going to sound really boring, and I hope it doesn't sound cliche or religious in any way, but I find my entertainment in reading a good book, in reading God's Word, maybe spending time with, you know, the things that matter, the people that matter, spending time with my wife. Like, we're going to have an opportunity to go away for a week, and I'm so looking forward to that. Just time to laugh. All those things come from the Creator. God gave us those things to really entertain us. And when I settled for a video game or a movie, I feel like Maximus. Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? No, I'm not. I need Jesus. So that's my entertainment. It's just finding the quality in life because there's so much more than what I often settle for.
I like how you blended in relationships into entertainment too. That's cool. Do you have a plan for entertainment? Just sit down in front of the tube and whatever's on is on. You're doomed, okay? Have a plan. I mean, quite honestly, so much news is appropriate. You let the news channel go in your home, and you'll start talking just like any network you're watching. And people aren't going to want to hang out with that, guaranteed. Get a balance. Wayne Herbst told me... as an assistant principal of the school, you would basically get 15 minutes of this network, and then you'd go over to 15 minutes of this network, try to figure it out in between, and ask God to help him with it. And, I mean, you get too much of one way or the other, it's hard. That's a touchy subject. And yet you do feel something that comes over you when you have too much of that. But you do need to know what's going on in the world. True? Yeah. A lot of it's just to open your phone. It's right there. Psalms 4:8 says, I can lie down and sleep soundly because you, Lord, will keep me safe. Rest. Make time for rest. I can sleep because he's awake. Thank goodness for that. God is greater than your worries. I love that image of Francis Chan. That video was powerful. When he lays his child down, could you possibly get there emotionally? I'm in the arms of God and he is laying me down. I can sleep. It's hard for Matt with his green tea. But even with green tea, you can figure this out. God will settle your spirit. Certainly when you eat stuff, right? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about everything that's inside you emotionally and mentally. I've just got so much on my mind. There's been so much happening, right? Even in the last 72 hours for some of you guys, just event after event after event. I've had five this week, okay? The only way to rest at night between events is to sit there and go, God, you've prepared me for this along the way. That's number one, I'm prepared. Number two, this belongs to you. The turnout belongs to you. Number three, the weather is not up to me, right? I'm thinking through this. If you've ever done events, your mind's going 100 miles an hour. You know, your budget issues, that was months ago. Now it's time for the event. Those anxiousness, those things will keep you up at night. They will. Making phone calls, other things. Psalms 127:2. It's useless to rise early and to go to bed late and work your worried fingers to the bone. Don't you know he enjoys giving rest to those he loves? Here in Avalon, I think we need that. It's useless to work from morning till night every day. First, it doesn't work. It's useless, okay? You're going to get more and more tired, get less and less done, but you're also missing out on literally giving joy to the heart of God. He loves to watch his loved ones rest. He loves to see you sleep. Who knows what he's up to in your sleep? We work right up till the very last minute trying to get every minute of our day. Getting every minute of the day, we end up cutting 10 years of our life off. When my brother passed away a year ago, I literally watched my parents age 10 years in basically a year. And as parents that have had to, you know, you've lost a child, you understand that. But I knew I would see my brother again. And I had to grieve like everybody else. But inside me, I kept moving forward because I understood I'd see him again. And like Gladiator, but not yet.
Yes.
But there was hope there. And I think I got back some of those years that I would have lost if I thought of it any other way. You know what sleep is? It's a time investment. It's like a financial investment. If I take a financial investment, I put it in the bank. I know it's going to draw interest. If I trust it to the bank, I know it's going to draw this and over the next few months, but also for years in advance. It's an investment. Same thing with sleep. When I sleep, it pays off the next day. It pays off to years of my life. And I used to have a t-shirt. Literally, it said, "You can sleep when you're dead." I never would sleep. As a youth pastor, there was stuff going on. It was a large church. We had 7 church plants all floating, and there was a lot of workers in each place. There was constantly trainings here and there. And as a result, I didn't get a lot of sleep. Youth work is generally nocturnal. Young adults are generally nocturnal. And I became the same way. And yet, the mornings, I felt like trash. It was hard to get up and get going, especially exercising. It was difficult. Matt, what works for you as far as sleep goes?
Oh, man, if sleep was a spiritual fruit, I think I would be thriving in that area. I love to sleep, unfortunately. And I think it's because I don't get enough of it. You know, like you said, being in youth work and just kind of going and going and going. I try to fight for it. I feel bad for anybody that has slept in the same room with me.
Okay.
Sorry, honey.
That's fair.
Because I just, it's like my body is thirsty for sleep. And, you know, the enemy likes to run you, everything, by the way. So last night, teen center, you know, getting over a cold, and I'm tired, you know, my body's aching, and, you know, it just rained, and a part of me was like, what if the teen center was flooded and I could stay home and rest? But I fought through it, and I said, you know what, I got to go. So I ended up opening the doors, and there were 40 kids, 40-plus kids down there. The room was roaring. So much so that Julio, the pastor in the Spanish ministry, had texted me. He's like, can you turn down the music down there? I'm like, those are the kids. And I just saw the fruit of what God had for me. He says, there's a time to rest, but not right now. You got something to do. So your question again, I'm sorry.
How do you rest?
How do I rest? I rest in God truly, and I just say, God, give me the strength to whatever it is that you have for me. And that's so important about your day is God will put those things in perspective for you. He will show you the times to rest. Listen to yourself. God is very much speaking to you through you sometimes, and it's okay. You don't have to feel guilty. We all need rest. Some of you right now look like you're getting plenty of rest. So enjoy that.
Nice. How do you rest? Raise your hand if it's a good book. Yeah, settles you. Okay. Sketching, journaling, or drawing, one of those? One of you? Great. Okay, cool. Music? Something calming? Wow, okay. Is it your phone? Checking email, perhaps. It's weird, but hands should go up because when you're trying to rest, that's exactly what we're doing. You know it's true. Set aside those times. When you're sleeping, you're sleeping. When you're trying to sleep, then you're making those efforts to try there. I'm preaching to the choir in a lot of ways, but you know what? I have work to do in this too. For a pastor, sometimes the switch is always on, and that's not cool. To look busy, right? All that's just posing anyway. God says, pastors, you need to rest. And when there's something for you to wake up on, and it's 4 a.m. and it's big, I'll get you up. You're available, but you're not always on. You're not always on. You know, some of you, even city employees, good friends, they have like 3 cell phones. This is my personal phone. This is my work phone, you know, and this one right here is in case these 2 break and they're not working and I have this backup phone. I'm sitting here going, good night. It's different. Morgan, in the intensive series we're looking at with our men's ministry right now, he quotes Dallas Willard as saying, if there's trouble in your world, there's trouble in your soul. So if something's not right inside, you can bet externally, all heck's breaking out. When it settles in here, generally speaking, you can handle everything else out here. Nod your head if you're awake and you're listening this morning. It's a very powerful remark. But if there's something unsettled in your heart, you can bet that no matter what hits you during the day, you're taken out every time. You're taken out. You can't handle it. Trouble in your soul means trouble in your world. And this is different. This section here, way different. One is literally charging your batteries, and the other is recharging. Look at this one right here, making time for yourself. This is different than sleep. Okay, you recharge it. We need to recharge it. There are a lot of very powerful, influential, great leaders in this room right now where I'm speaking. You need to know that when you recharge something constantly, you find yourself spinning your wheels. You're tired. It's hard to concentrate on anything. You have been where I am as a leader. Charging and recharging are 2 different things. Sleeping and making time for yourselves are 2 different things. Just like studying God's Word and cranking out, you know, sermons versus personal time in God's Word, where one is out of an overflow and the other is a canal. Are you tracking with me? Luke 5:16. Jesus, he often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus withdrew. Look at the Old Testament and the New Testament to see what people had to withdraw. Where did they go? Where did Moses go? Where did Abraham go? Where did Elijah go? What did David do? Where did Solomon go? Where did Jesus go? The ocean, the forest, the mountains. Circle often. In 3 years of public ministry, this guy was going to change all of human history. And yet he took time to be alone. He took time for himself. He knew he needed to recharge. He knew he needed to reconnect with his Father in the ways that would help him do all the things that God gave him to do. And I praise God that there's leaders in this room. I praise God that God has shaped you and gifted you for leadership, and your decision making is bringing life to your family, to the generations underneath you, and this community. Recharge yourself. Keep her going. If you don't, just in a practical way, it hurts you day to day. Studies have shown that when we get under stress, your intelligence drops by 25%. Figure things out. Okay? We need to recharge. That's how you figure things out. What helps you sort of relax, de-stress? What recharges you? Less than, you know, 1,000 yards from here is the beginning of a beautiful trail. They call it the Hour Trail. Some of you call it the Horse Trail. Some of you call it the BMX Trail. Or, you know, there are all kinds of different things that that trail has held. But there's life there. There's lots of ways to get into it and on it and off of it. Right? That's in town. You don't even need a permit for that. Every hike on this island is available for free. Every one. What a place to adventure out with God. For some of you, this time of the year is planting. My wife loves to plant. I hate it in our budget when all these plants come from over town. But for about 3 months, she goes at it and goes at it hard. After that, I got to walk that dog, all right? I got to keep those things alive. But for a while there, she's going into a season. She just loves the spring and everything that comes with it. It's not just television. I cannot sit and watch an hour of television and say that's recharged, except for one show, and I watched the whole thing, and that was Free Solo, and I haven't stopped watching that this whole week. This guy, and I'm not praising this guy, but just the quest itself, there's something drawing me towards that. I don't know what it is entirely, except for the fact that he went right to the edge of where life could end, and he just conquered this straight up 3,000-foot cliff with no ropes. And he didn't do it after never climbing before. I mean, climb after climb, free solo after free solo, all around the world, Morocco, all over, preparing for El Capitan. What is it that helps you recharge? For me, it's paddling. And for sometimes, some effort, I may just, I'm looking at Garibaldi, I'm enjoying what's going on, I'll stand up to, you know, Long Point and back, no big deal. But it's when I start discharging, when I literally look at this quest and I go, you know what? I bet I can do it in half the time I did it yesterday. Or I got to do it in a faster minute. All of a sudden, I'm not recharging anymore. Get it? Competitive people in this room? There is a setup for success and a setup for failure. To recharge means I'm paddling because my time with God, I hear him speak and he plants stuff in my life and there's things that go on. I'm not boasting. I'm letting you know I found something that works for me. Maybe you found something that works for you. Okay? For me, it's just paddling. But all of a sudden, a wave approaches. I got to ride this thing. And stand-up paddle isn't flat water anymore. It's literally surfing. And for others, that's a part of your entertainment. And that's okay. I'm saying figure out which one works for you. Time with God alone and hearing from him versus time taking care of yourself physically. Set those things up. Make sure they're distinct. I'll go to Shark Harbor for my wave riding, and over here is the flat water. It's pretty simple on this island, except when the harbor's, you know, busting out there. You can surf in our channel out here and in the harbor. But God sets things up for you to speak to you that's different than me. I remember Francis Chan on Daytona Beach. He was speaking at our camp, and the camp was over, and we had two extra days together. And he said, I want to learn to paddle surf. I said, Chan, you surf. He goes, I want to learn to paddle surf, like ride waves. And we went over to the pier, and I gave him my board, and I made photos, and his kids were cheering and jumping up and down as the man, the dad, the Chan, rode his first wave in. And when he took that first wave and he came to shore, he literally said, this takes this to a whole nother level. You're already standing. You're already up. He goes, there's no way that I can enjoy this sport anymore. It's not calming. It's not relaxing. It's not this flat water thing. It's surfing. I said, well, we'll have to figure out how to separate the two. And now they make those boards. Some have a fun shape. Some have this split rail in the front that allows you to go through flat water, right? Somebody figured it out. They're like, this is this and this is that. For you, you got to figure it out. What is it that brings fun versus time with God? And that's fun. But they're distinct. They're separate. And recharging. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, tell us another reason why it's important to recharge. Therefore, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. I'm not saying you shouldn't spend time and money and energy on certain things, on the outward appearance. But the Bible says very carefully here, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Outwardly, we're wasting away. Hard for me to admit how I feel this year versus last year. Anyone here want to admit you look a little different than you did last year? 5 years ago? Some of you go, yeah, a lot better, man. Okay, I'm not talking about you. Your body's wasting away. So God turns around and he says, I want to invest in something that's way bigger. I want to take time with you and recharge you and look on the inside. I will tell you this. It's okay, and I say this gently. It's so cool. Look back on how you acted a year ago, how you spoke a year ago, how you thought a year ago. Has your walk with God been wasting away, or has that improved? Even though your body may be getting older, your life is changing for the better. God's maturing you on the inside. That's powerful. Are you the same as you were yesterday? And hopefully the answer is no, for a better reason. My body may be wasting away, but not my soul. I am not losing heart. A year ago, inside looked like crap. A year later, God and I have a relationship, and he's changing the world that I walk in. That's a powerful verse, 2 Corinthians 4:16. That's what it's saying. One is on the outward, the other's on the inward. When you focus on that, the power to begin to recharge your heart is powerful. 2 Corinthians 5:17, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. It's not the same anymore. New life has begun. What Matt was sharing in relationships is, that's the most powerful thing you can invest in, is Jesus time. And if you're seeking God this morning, it starts with his son and understanding what he has done for you and for me. And you guys are beautiful. This is a beautiful congregation. He has created you that way. Give him back what is rightfully his. That beauty belongs to Jesus. Lay it on the altar and say, God, my life is yours. And I want it to be a sweet fragrance before you. And in some cases, this part right here stinks a little bit, but it's yours. Perfect me and work on this in me. You know that God practiced the golden rule towards us. The Bible says in Romans in the New Testament that while we were God's enemies, still God's enemies, tumbling into sin, thumbing our nose at God, that Jesus Christ came and died for us. And he met our needs even before we knew we needed him. That's what God did for us. That's what God did for you. He wants a relationship with you. He wants you to give him back your life. And he wants to give you power to live every day with him. Start a new life. And have communion with God. These are very powerful verses. And this morning as we're praying, I encourage you to start with communion in your heart. Every month we do this. If this becomes ritual, oh God forbid. May it become something I cannot wait to do. It may have to happen every day for you. Come to the table. Meet your Creator. Fall on your face and say, here it is. This is what you got. I'm forgetting the ideal. I'm going for the real. This is the real me. Perfect me. Complete me. Help me. And I love you. Thank you for making me beautiful. Thank you for establishing new work in my life. Even though this may be wasting away, hey, my attitude's never been better. I thank you for the things that you've given us. In the midst of what looks like something of doom, there is an incredible rainbow. God sets up. I remind you this morning that he is waiting to hang out. And just like that video shows, he's waiting to end your day. And he's waiting to start your day. We have communion set up on both sides of the facility here, the building. And I invite you into it, not just to take the elements which represent his blood and his body for you, which is everything. I mean, he spilt it all. But it means I'm coming to the table to be with the author and the finisher of my faith. And whatever I eat and drink and whatever I do, I just want to bring glory to you. If our worship team can come up, and I'm going to pray with you all, and I'm going to ask that for those of you who have figured this out, you understand what we're talking about, to be patient for a moment. For those that are still trying to figure things out, as far as my relationship with God, I'm going to invite you to Christ. I'm being blatantly honest. Why wait? And if you're sitting there, I don't care if you're 8, 12, 42, 82, whatever it is, the same simple plan of salvation is available today. I'm going to invite you to Christ. Let me encourage those of you who have not begun a relationship with Jesus to ask Him into your life, to provide an opening for Him. You may not have all the answers. Let's pray. Christ, I want to begin a relationship with You today. I'm sorry for leaving You behind in my sins. Forgive me. I want to follow You. Teach me to live the life that You made me to live. And I ask this in Jesus' name. And for those who God has provided life to already, would you say to God something like this in your heart? Help me to make You part of my day. Not just my weekends or just a small part, but the whole day. The morning hours. The daytime. When I get home and I'm hanging out with my family, teach me how. Give me strength. Help me draw on the strength of my relationships. But most importantly, the one with You. And God, when I stumble, help me to look at You. Pick me up again. Help me to forget this perfection stuff, but just how You're real in my life. Make real changes. More than anything, I pray that throughout the day, I'm going to be made more aware of Your love for me. It changes everything. How I treat people, that golden rule. I step back to say thank You for showing me the golden rule. You practiced it. And while we were yet sinners, while we were separated and enemies, You sent Your Son for us. You treated us the way You want to be treated. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.